Congregation, let us turn to the prophecy of Ezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 33, the prophet Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel chapter 33. I read from the verse 1 to the verse 20. This is the word of Almighty God. Come, let us hear His holy word. Again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts, and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet, and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet, and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him, but he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come, and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel, therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth, and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Therefore, O son of man, speak unto the house of Israel. Thus ye speak, saying, If our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how should we then live? Say unto them, As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? Therefore, thou son of man, say unto the children of thy people, The righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall thereby in the day that he turneth from his wickedness. Neither shall the righteous be able to live for his righteousness in the day that he sinneth. When I shall say to the righteous that he shall surely live, if he trust to his own righteousness and commit iniquity, all his righteousness shall not be remembered, but for his iniquity that he hath committed, he shall die for it. Again, when I say unto the wicked, Thou shalt surely die, if he turn from his sin and do that which is lawful and right, if the wicked restore the pledge, give again that he had robbed, walk in the statutes of life, without committing iniquity, he shall surely live, he shall not die. None of his sins that he hath committed shall be mentioned unto him. He hath done that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. Yet the children of thy people say, The way of the Lord is not equal. But as for them, their way is not equal. When the righteous turneth from his righteousness and committeth iniquity, he shall even die thereby. But if the wicked turn from his wickedness and do that which is lawful and right, he shall live thereby. Yet ye say, The way of the Lord is not equal. O ye house of Israel, I will judge you every one after his ways. Amen. This is the word, the infallible, inerrant word of Almighty God. And may the Lord add his own blessing to that public reading. And then we look to him to enable for the ministry the exposition of his holy word. And may all redound to the glory of his name and for the everlasting good of our never-dying souls. Congregation, turning your prayerful attention there to the passage which I read in your hearing from Ezekiel chapter 33, having read from the verse 1 to the verse 20, the Lord enabling me this night, I take the verse 6 as preliminary and introductory verse to set our minds upon one of the great themes of the 20 verses that I read to you, and then we'll consider with the Lord's enabling the important warning that God issues to sinners through His prophet and through His preacher, Ezekiel. And I pray that as the Lord had indeed spoken through Ezekiel, the Lord might speak tonight through this word to our hearts, for it is living, it is powerful, it is active, it is sharper than any two-edged sword. And we pray that we might have dealings with the Lord if we have not come to that place of repentance and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. So the verse 6. But if the watchman see the sword come, and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come, and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. But his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. Now I have preached from this passage of Scripture a number of times, lastly about 3 years ago. And I felt that the Lord has been burdening me with a message to bring to those hearers of mine week by week who remain lost and who remain in a state of defiance against the living God, who will not heed His warnings. I pray that the Lord might be gracious unto you and to open your ears and your heart to His word this night, and pointing you to those last words, but His blood will I require at the watchman's hand. I hope we all realize as we gather here tonight that every minister of God's word is called to be a watchman. We read in the Apostle Paul's words to the Hebrews that we watch for your souls, that we have a responsibility given by God to preach the word of the living God, to warn men everywhere. Now I'm going to point to a number of New Testament verses that tell us this, that God's ministers are to warn. And I want to impress upon your mind tonight that the Lord has said to His watchmen, not just to Ezekiel here, but to anyone that has been appointed as a preacher of God's word, that your blood will be upon me if I do not warn you of God's impending wrath to come. Your blood will be upon me. Now, of course, ultimately, I preach the word of God week by week because the Lord has saved me by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus, and that I have a burden for people's souls. Just as Ezekiel had a burden for people's souls, and I would say to anybody, any man that is seeking the Lord's leading and direction for ministry, if you do not have a burden for people's souls, the last thing you should be doing is preaching the Word of God. The very last thing. But God has given a burden for souls to all of His ministers. And we do not know who God's elect are. He is calling them out of the four corners of this world. The Lord is saving the lost. We are told to go out into the highways and to the byways and to preach the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, I cannot offer salvation. It is the gift of God. It is not for me to stand up and say, I offer you salvation. I believe that is blasphemous at the very least. Salvation is the gift of God. And it is to all that call upon Him in truth, to all that repent and believe with biblical repentance and faith in our Lord Jesus. It is the gift of God. But we are called to be those who warn. Preachers do warn people to turn, to repent. We read here, but if the watchman see the sword come, and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, He is taken away in his iniquity. That is the sinner who will not turn, who will not repent. But his blood, that person that does not turn, will I require at the watchman's hand. If you'd like to turn with me just for a moment to Acts chapter 20, I want to show you the New Testament truth of this. The Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 20 and the verse 20 and 21 spent a good while with the Ephesian church, and he preached the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And you remember, just before I get into the text, how John the Baptist said to the Pharisees that were there with him, and they came to that baptism, he said to them, "Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" Preachers do warn people to turn, to repent. And this was the ministry of the apostles and all of his true preachers. In Acts 20 and the verse 20, we read these words, "I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." That is the work of the ministry. You come down to the verse 26, then the apostle says these words, "Wherefore," in other words, in light of what I have just told you, "I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." Do you see that with your own eyes, in your own Bibles, that the Apostle Paul says that he was free of the blood of all men? Why? Because he taught publicly from house to house. And he spoke of repentance toward God, the verse 21, and faith toward our Lord Jesus. If he didn't, he would not be free of the blood of all men. That is all that God has put within his remit to preach the word of life. And so I hope you see that not only do we see it in the Old Testament, but the New Testament, that the minister of God has a responsibility to proclaim the whole counsel of God. When we speak of the whole counsel of God, we speak of the law, the prophets, the Psalms, but we also preach the gospel, which all those things point to. The culmination of the Old Testament is the New Testament, the great promise of the Savior. And it is the minister's responsibility to preach repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, many will argue that and say that faith is a gift. I don't deny that. But God does say in Acts 17 and the verse 30 that he commands all men everywhere to repent. And this is a vital thing. The Lord Jesus said to the Jews in his day, "If ye repent not, ye shall die in your sins." It is incumbent upon men to repent. Although, as we thought recently, repentance is a gift and a grace, it is nothing but wickedness not to repent, not to turn to God. When God gives that gift, he gives a heart to repent. He grants repentance. But again, it is still the responsibility of the sinner to repent. You notice in the verse 9, "Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way, to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered thy soul." But if not, the verse 6, the minister is responsible for not declaring and for not warning people to repent. Dear friends, the Bible from cover to cover, from the book of Genesis through to the book of the Revelation, is telling men and women, boys and girls, that they have sinned against a holy God and that they must repent, or they will perish. Now, you notice in the verse 10, we have this same repeated message of the Bible. "Therefore, O thou son of man, speak thou unto the house of Israel, thus ye speak, if our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how should we then live?" The question is asked and it's obvious. If God is holy and you continue on in your sin, and your wickedness as a sinner, and your sins are not washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ, what will become of you? How will you live? How should we then live? How can you live before God? And the answer that comes back, of course, is we cannot and we will not. We will perish. We will die in our sins. In other words, if you remain impenitent in your sin, you will perish in your sin and you will go to a lost eternity. Problem is, the human heart is not willing. But it still does not mean, and I hope you see very clearly from this passage, that because men cannot and will not turn of themselves, that I must not preach and warn men. Necessity is laid upon me to warn you lovingly to turn. Because the message here is turn, turn from your sins. And so notice in the verse 11, the exhortation to turn, to repent follows. Say unto them, as I live, that is, as the Lord lives, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? Now let's just go on the scene. God has appointed, we know this from chapter 3, that God has appointed Ezekiel as a watchman. Ezekiel 3:17, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word of my mouth, God says, and give them warning from me. You see, that's his ministry. But the people had not heeded God's word to repent. And what happened? God brought the Babylonians. They destroyed Jerusalem and the temple, and the people were carried away and led into captivity. Judah was under great attack. There were a number of series of raids. Daniel was carried away in the first raid to Babylon. But then there was a second raid in the year 587 BC for about 13 months. And that time Ezekiel was carried away. Jeremiah wasn't carried away. But indeed, Ezekiel was carried away. And now God is saying to him, you are a watchman. Now we mustn't imagine here that he is some watchman sitting upon a tower overlooking a city. No, he's a spiritual watchman. You see, they are in far greater danger than the danger of the Chaldeans or the Assyrians or the Babylonians coming to attack. They're in danger of hell fire. God brought the Babylonians upon them, plundered them because of their sin. But there is a far, far greater danger than men. God is saying effectively, just don't fear men who are able to kill the body, but fear God who is able to cast both body and soul into hell. False prophets were saying, peace, peace, when there was no peace. That people might be away now and there may seem to be no further danger. There's a far worse danger. The danger of God's wrath. And friend, you see, if you persist on in sin, you face the wrath of Almighty God. You see how the Lord says, why will you die in your sins? That's the great danger. To die in your sins, to die in a lost state. It's a terrible state to die in your sins. Remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said as he spoke to the Jews. He said, if ye believe not that I am he, that is God, the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, the Savior of men, he said, ye shall die in your sins. It's a terrible thing to die in your sins. And the Lord Jesus Christ warned man. So Ezekiel really was a spiritual watchman. He was not an army soldier or a guard, but he was called to warn people, to exhort them to repent because of their sins, because everlasting wrath is coming. Because God is holy, and we must have a Savior. We must look unto Him who saves. As I said, the nation has already been severely chastened by God. Jerusalem ransacked, many carried away by the enemy, but this was not the big issue. The big issue, you see, is their hearts were still far from God. Far from God. The name Ezekiel means the Lord strengthens. He had a hard task. Such a hard task, you see, because they think it's all over. We're led away, there's no further. And maybe you tend to think like that. Bad things have happened in your life and you say, my life is a living hell. Oh, friends, you have no idea. The wrath of God is yet to come. People so foolishly speak of things like this. They say, you don't know my life. My life is a living hell. Don't ever speak like that. Words cannot describe the utter horrors of hell. It is a place of torment. It's a place where the worm never dies. And the fire is not quenched. And the Bible does warn us about this awful place, that we should not go there, that we should turn. The Bible says here, we read here, turn. God says, sinner, turn. And what he does is he gives the one who looks to him strength to turn. We make a happy discovery when we're saved. It was the Lord speaking to us who gave us power to turn. And I want you to notice verse 5, individual people are entirely responsible to heed the warnings from the Word of God. Notice the verse 5, he heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. Here's the individual person, his blood shall be upon him, but he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. You know, once again, I hope you see that the Bible makes emphatically clear the sinner's responsibility to turn to repent. Although he has no ability, it does not negate from his responsibility to repent. Now let me say, there is nothing so nefarious, there is nothing so wicked, so deplorable as ministers not warning men to repent. Because my Bible tells me very clearly, Acts 17:30, God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And why so? Because, well, we're told, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Now I've heard all kinds of explanations that ministers have tried to give so that we are somehow lifted from this responsibility of warning all men. But what do you do with Paul's words in Colossians 1:28, where he says, Christ, whom we preach, warning every man. Christ, whom we preach, warning every man. What do we preach about Christ? I'll tell you what we preach about him. He is the one we run to. He is the one we flee to for refuge. Paul says, Christ whom we preach, warning every man. What do we warn about? We warn that God is holy and he must punish sin. And he is coming to judge the world in righteousness by this man who he has ordained. And he has given assurance of this by raising him from the dead. There's the proof that your body is going to come out of that grave, as is mine. And I'm going to stand before the judgment seat of God Almighty, warning every man. We preach Christ. Dear friends, I hope, I pray that you have been warned. Firstly, in love and concern for your soul, week after week, warning you. I pray that I come telling you that there is a wrath to come, that God will come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel. Week after week, I seek to do that. But warning you, because God has commissioned and commanded me as a watchman to warn. Because if I don't, that blood will be upon my hands. This is why Paul could say, I hold you to record this day, Acts 20, the verse 21 and 20, that I am free of the blood of all men. Friends, do you see, this is the universal teaching of Holy Scripture. And I say there is nothing more wicked than a minister that knows the way, the exit door, the way of escape, and not to point sinners there. There's nothing more wicked. Although sinners cannot save themselves, they are warned, and some are saved. They're as brands plucked from the fire. There's a day of wrath. We thought this morning, as God parted that Red Sea and took his people through, the wicked tried to go through the midst, and they perished. Every single one of them. God is a holy God. Glorious in holiness, as we thought. Exodus 15 and the verse 11. Glorious in holiness. He will not tolerate sin. He cannot stand the sight of it. He must judge sin. And Ezekiel is a good watchman. He's warning the people. Though they think it's all over, oh, there's no further trouble. How can it get any worse? Yes. The minute you drop dead, friend, you drop into the pit of hell forever and forever. That's where you go without the Savior. That's where you go without the Lord Jesus. And it brings me no pleasure to tell you that. God says here, He has no delight in the death of the wicked. Did you read that? He takes no delight, but He must punish because He is holy. He must punish sin. Then He is just to do so. If He didn't punish sin, He wouldn't be a holy God, would He? But in His great mercy with which He loved sinners, He gave His Son, the Lord Jesus, to be a propitiation for their sins. And that is the good news, you see, of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ezekiel's no physical watchman, but he is a watchman of a greater importance. You read in the verse 5 how a man's soul is saved. If he turns from his sin, wonderful, isn't it? What's the big difference between the soul and the body? The body just lives a few years because of sin. And it's cut off and we fly away, Ecclesiastes 12 and the verse 7. And the spirit, we're told, Solomon says, goes to God, who gave it, and is either cast out of his presence or it is glorified in that place where the spirits of just men are made perfect. That's salvation, to know that. And there are various ways that God is warning sinners, let me say, not just through the preaching of the word, but through that what we call natural revelation, day after day. Dear sinner friend, you're living in the light of the knowledge of God, when you consider His handiworks, the heavens and the earth declare His glory. Day unto day, night unto night, they uttereth speech. And Paul says, therefore, you are without excuse. For the invisible attributes of God are clearly seen. They make manifest by the things that He has made. But then you're warned by those commandments that He has written upon your own heart, Romans 2, 14 and 15. God has written His holy law upon your heart, friend. And you know conscience accusing or else excusing you in your sin. You're being warned. And you know there's another preacher. His name's Death. There's a preacher that's constantly preaching to you every day. You hear of somebody that dies. It's that same old preacher. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. Every day, when you read that obituary column in the newspaper, every day you'll see a name there. People die. Members of your family, whoever it is, that same old preacher is preaching throughout your life. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. It's only a matter of time, dear friend, that the grim reaper will come. Death will come. I know it's a very sensitive subject. It is for all of us. We've all lost somebody. We've all lost somebody. But where do you go when you die without the Lord Jesus? Where do you go? You know the answer to that. Your Bible tells you. Your own conscience tells you. God's word is warning you. His law warns you. Nature warns you of who He is, and we must heed. Some do believe. Verse 5. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. What a lovely verse that is indeed. But this is where we need to be. Repenting. Jesus said, except ye repent, ye shall perish. Repent and believe the good news. Repent and believe upon Christ. Seek the Lord. Now there are a number of warnings. I've warned you about sinners dying in their sin, but there is another warning. Notice the verse 12. It's a warning against self-righteousness. Therefore, thou son of man, say unto the children of thy people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. Now what is meant here? The righteousness of the righteous. Here is, of course, not the one that is made righteous by God, but this is a man's own so-called good works. What are they? We read in the Word of God, they are but filthy rags before God. It cannot save us. It's a reminder to the Christian here tonight, no matter what we've done in our lives, all of our good works, all of our deeds, all of our praying, that will not save us. It is only on account, isn't it, of God's mercy, forgiveness of sins, through the Savior that we're ever saved. Only that will deliver us from our transgression. So there's a warning. The Lord Jesus said, did he not? I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. That's a warning against self-righteousness. But you see the good news to the repentant sinner, the verse 12b. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall. Thereby, in the day that he turneth from his wickedness. We think of the thief on the cross. He's the first one that immediately springs to my mind, certainly. A man who hardly lived a day for God. But he heard those wonderful words of the Lord Jesus. Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. What a comfort the gospel brings. And how it again assures us as Christians. Sometimes we doubt. Oh, we think, Lord, I haven't lived that life I should. Yes, of course, I know my child, but my son has. And all my righteousness is in the Lord Jesus. There's my comfort. There's my hope. We fall back on the Lord Jesus. You think of the man in the temple with the Pharisee. He could not so much as lift up his eyes to heaven, but smote his breast. He said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The Lord Jesus said that man went home justified. The Pharisee, I thank God I'm not like other men. He was looking to his works. He was looking to his life. What a hopeless pursuit. The day that he turneth from his wickedness. Isn't that wonderful? The day the sinner turns to God. He's saved and he's safe in the Lord. The Lord is our righteousness. Let the wicked forsake his way, and let the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, and he will abundantly pardon their salvation. You know, those words were spoken by Isaiah the prophet long before these words here. They knew the truth. They knew the truth. But they were seeking to establish a righteousness apart from faith in the Lord. If you're here tonight and you're trying to earn a righteousness before God, I say that's nothing short of pride and arrogance, because you take your sin with you. You can't just leave your sin behind and take some so-called good works and try to present them before God. That he won't have that. Our whole life is before God. And unless we have forgiveness through the Lord Jesus, we have not eternal life. But there is another warning. There's not only the warning that the sinner needs to repent and turn, and there is also that warning which I just spoke about, the one who has a self-righteousness. But there is also those who are just simply entertained by the Word of God. You notice you come down to the verse 30. There are a people here listening to Ezekiel's preaching, and yet they remain covetous. God speaking to Ezekiel in the verse 30 says, also, he says, here's something else, Ezekiel. You as a watchman, you're to warn these people about, because there are many, and I'm mindful of that tonight. There are many, many, and we can easily fall into this category if we're not careful. God speaking to Ezekiel says, also, thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh from the Lord. And they come to thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For, now notice, because, here was the condition in their heart, in other words, they listened with their ears, but with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. You see that? They listen, but their hearts are all wrong. And you notice the verse 32, and lo, he says here, Ezekiel, thou art unto them, to these people, as a very lovely song of one that has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument, for they hear thy words, but they do them not. He says, you know what, Ezekiel, the problem is, these people, they agree with you, you know, and it's when they come to hear your preaching, it's like entertainment. They caught up in the aura, oh, this is wonderful stuff. Come, let's hear what the prophet has to say. He says, you know, all you are, Ezekiel, you are as a lovely song. All it is entertainment. That's all it is. They hear the word of God, but they don't do it. They don't repent. They don't follow after God. They carry on in their sin. And you see, this is the great danger. You can agree with all that I've said tonight and say in your mind, in your heart, amen to all these things. Verily, verily, Lord. Yes, amen and amen. That's what we mean by amen. But you see, all I am is as a lovely song. You may as well go to an orchestra and be entertained by some worldly stuff. If you are not somebody that is a doer of God's word. You see, James says, the man that reads intently into the perfect law of God and forgets what manner of man he is, he leaves. He's self-deceived. Self-deceived. Remember what the Lord Jesus said, take heed to how ye hear. For the measure that ye hear, it shall be given unto you. Now, do we hear with the objectivity to be doers of God's word and say, Lord, thy word says I must repent and I must believe upon thee. I must turn from my sin and I must trust in thee for righteousness. I must jettison self. I must abandon self. And I must trust in the living God to save me. I must trust in Jesus' blood and righteousness. Naked God, I come to thee. I have nothing to offer God. But I come as a helpless sinner, vile before God. And I ask God to wash me through that cleansing blood of his Son. And to clothe me in the righteousness of his Son. That I may stand faultless before his throne. Why? Because I'm vile and full of sin. And Lord, unless thou wash me, I shall die in my sin. I will die, and I will go to a lost eternity. If I will not turn, I will perish in my sin. Friends, this is the minister's solemn responsibility. And I say to you, not only is it the most wicked thing that I can do not to obey God's word, but it is the most wicked thing and cruel thing that I can do than not to warn you. I'm sure, I'm convinced of this. Some of you think that I must be the most cruel man that you've ever met. I'm convinced of that because sometimes I see the response after the message. But I tell you, I come bringing the message of God. saying, you must repent or you will perish. You will go to a lost eternity and you will die in your sins. That old preacher, death, is preaching every day. It's just a matter of time when it comes to you. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. And God says, as he says here, why will you die in your sins? He doesn't delight in the death of the wicked. But let me tell you this, his justice will be satisfied on the judgment of an impenitent soul. And let me tell you this, everybody that is a Christian today has repented. Has repented. Everyone. Everyone that is not a Christian has not repented. And what's the reason the man does not repent? The Lord Jesus said it so plainly, so clearly. He says, because you love your darkness, because your deeds are evil, because you love sin more than you love God. I am not making the assessment, but the Lord Jesus Christ surely is, when he points to the condition of the human soul. But you know, the Lord is able to turn that. He is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto him by Jesus Christ. May God be so merciful to do that. Cry unto him. Ask him for mercy. Because it all depends on the mercy of God. You cannot demand this salvation. But the sinner that truly comes seeking God's mercy and his grace, God surely gives to them. The Lord said, if any man thirst, let him come. Amen.